sit down?
Sit here for a minute, then we might have to back up a little bit.
All right. Oh, wait. Hold on. So, I am here. Actually, some of you guys already know about this, but there are a lot of people in our church who don't, so we have something special to share with you. Today, we are going to, in a minute, we're going to introduce a video. We're going to show you a video that's going to introduce to you something really special we're going to be doing this season. Do you know what starts right now? It is the season of, who knows? Advent. Good job, Evie. It's the season of Advent, which is so special. It has a lot to do with baby Jesus and Christmas, and we're going to learn all about it through a really special story called Soft Enough for a King. And here it is. I'm not going to read to you because two very special people in our church are going to show you all about this story in this video. So let it roll.
Advent 2021.
Lewistown Presbyterian Church Christian Education Committee presents an opportunity for you and your family to participate in a new Advent tradition of service to Jesus, the reason for the season.
Listen to this story, Soft Enough for a King, and be inspired by the innkeeper's son, who made a soft bed for baby Jesus by filling the manger with straw.
Soft Enough for a King. Visitors had been arriving in Bethlehem for days, many from faraway places. The inn was busier than ever. Abe, the innkeeper's son, loved meeting all the new guests. He raced past his mother to answer the door.
"Good evening," said a weary man. "My wife and I have traveled a long way. She is having a baby soon, and we need a place to stay the night."
"I'm so sorry. I wish we could help you," Abe's mother replied. "But our beds are full. There is no room at the inn." Abe watched the two turn and slowly walk away. He felt as if his heart would break. The inn was full, but the baby needs a place to sleep. There had to be some way to help them. Suddenly, a thought came to his mind.
"Wait, Mom,"
Abe exclaimed.
"Could they stay in the stable behind the inn?"
Abe's mother smiled and pulled him close. "Oh, Abe, you can invite them, but the stable is not very clean." Abe ran to catch up with the tired travelers. He blurted out his idea. They looked at each other, and Abe could see tears brimming in the sweet mother's eyes. They nodded and turned to follow him.
"I think there is something special about this couple and their baby."
His mother invited them in for supper while Abe cleaned and swept the stable as quickly as he could. He wanted everything to be just right for the special guests. In a far corner, Abe found an old wooden manger.
"A perfect little bed."
Abe put his hand inside to feel how soft it would be for the baby.
"Not soft enough,"
he thought. He looked around and could not find any clean straw.
"Mom, I want to fill the old manger with fresh straw to make a soft bed for the new baby. May I go to the market?"
Abe's mother reached into her apron and pulled out a shiny coin. "You'll have to hurry. The market closes at sundown." Abe was bursting with excitement as he hurried on his way. Soon he heard the cry of a little lamb, lost and scared. He stopped and lifted the trembling lamb into his arms.
"Let's get you home."
In a nearby field, a shepherd was searching.
"Excuse me, sir, is this your lamb?"
"Yes, I've looked everywhere. How did you find him?"
Abe explained that he was going to the market to buy straw for a special baby's bed and found the lost lamb in the field. The shepherd held his lamb close and smiled as he watched Abe rush along, anxious to get to the market before it closed. As he entered the town, Abe passed an old carpenter busy in his workshop. Shavings and sawdust were everywhere. He hesitated. Then, seeing the old man pause and lean against his workbench, Abe guided him to a stool, grabbed a broom, and started sweeping. The carpenter sank onto the stool and listened as Abe told him of the new baby coming and his errand to get soft straw. Before he knew it, the workshop was neat and tidy.
"This is amazing,"
said the carpenter as he stood hunched over, holding his back.
"Please let me give you something for your hard work."
"That's okay. I'm glad I could help,"
Abe called over his shoulder as he hurried on his way. The sun was beginning to set, and Abe was almost to the market when he came upon a baker struggling with two heavy pails of water. He rushed over, and without a second thought, he lifted one of the pails and carried it to her shop.
"Please let me thank you with some warm bread," said the baker. "It will be out of the oven soon."
"Thank you, I would love that,"
said Abe, his stomach growling.
"But it's getting late, and I'm on my way to buy straw for a special baby's bed."
When Abe finally arrived, the market was empty. He searched for someone to sell him straw, but all the shops had closed for the night. With a heavy heart and tears in his eyes, Abe started the long journey home, past the bakery, the carpenter's workshop, and the shepherd's field. When he arrived at the stable, Abe stopped outside and shivered. The cold made him think of how there would be no soft, warm straw for the new baby on that chilly night. Abe glanced inside. The new mother looked up from the baby in her arms and motioned for him to come in. He took a deep breath and stepped inside.
"There you are, Abe,"
the woman exclaimed, cradling her baby in her arms.
"We've been waiting for you. You have given our baby a wonderful gift."
"I have?"
Abe asked in surprise.
"Your friends came looking for you, a shepherd, a carpenter, and a baker. They wanted to thank you for your help today. Each of them brought a bushel of fresh, clean straw. Look in the manger."
Abe slowly knelt down beside the old wooden manger. The straw glistened like gold and smelled so sweet. Abe gently ran his finger through the fresh straw. It was soft and warm. He looked up at the mother and her new baby and smiled.
"Will this be soft enough for your baby?"
Abe quietly asked. Placing her sleeping babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, into his little bed, the mother whispered,
"Yes, Abe, it is soft enough."
"Soft enough for a king. The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'"
Matthew 25:40. So be like Abe in Soft Enough for a King this Advent season, and be inspired to do something nice for someone during Advent. Serve others. Then write down your acts of kindness or service projects on special pieces of paper straw. Bring the straw back to Lewistown Presbyterian Church and put it in the manger. By the time we celebrate Jesus' birth on Christmas, the manger will be soft enough for a king. The Lewistown Presbyterian Church Christian Education Committee wishes you and your family a very
Merry Christmas.
All right. right, kids, why don't we come back to the steps? A few more things to show you. Let me tell you, I have read a lot of children's books, and this, I think, is my favorite book I've ever heard. What an awesome story! I'm so excited to get into this Advent season. So, we have some things here. We have our own little manger, and it's going to be in the sanctuary for you to bring in your paper straw that we're about to hand out to you. We have some paper straw here, and we'll make sure you have a lot all through the Advent season to write down your acts of kindness and service and bring them back to fill our manger. Because, Evie, would you like to hold baby Jesus? We have our own little baby Jesus we're going to put in the manger, and we need to make sure it's soft enough. Oh! Y'all right? Do you want? Yeah. You want to hold baby Jesus? Be nice. Yeah, be nice. So we're going to hand these out to you in 1 minute, but first I want to share a poem that is on a bulletin board out here. If you have a chance to go by the church office, it's a beautiful poem about what we're going to be doing this Advent season. May straw fill this manger a little, line by line, through love and gentle giving of our hearts and time, selflessness and service, in small and simple ways, we'll make a home that's soft enough for a king on Christmas Day. What a beautiful poem, and that tells us exactly what we need to do. So, would you guys help me pass the straw, and then we'll come back and say a quick prayer?
Okay, just want to let you know, this is for everybody too, and there will be plenty of paper straw to go around. We'll get them mailed out to families that are not meeting with us. Let's see what we can do within our community to spread the love of Jesus this Christmas. So adults, don't be hesitant. There are plenty more pieces of straw, and we'll make sure that you get them. Thanks, Leah. And Elaine and Abby, that was awesome.
All right, nice job. Thank you for helping. All right. Bow your heads, and we're just going to listen to this prayer. Dear God, please help us to remember the reason for the season of Christmas and Advent. Help us remember to show kindness to others. Amen. Anyone who would like to grab a bag over here with activities in it, you are welcome to grab it. And once you pick a bag, please put your name on it so we know it's yours, and bring it back when you're done.
Wonderful. I love how we carry on the theme of giving from Thanksgiving month in November into December. So I'm looking forward to watching the manger be filled with all of the wonderful acts of kindness done by the folks in our church. The children, you'll be coming up during the service, so keep your ears open when I invite you forward again. But now let us prepare our hearts to hear the reading of Scripture. Join with me in a prayer for illumination. God, our salvation, there is wisdom, peace, and joy for those who keep your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us in your truth and teach us to do your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture readings for the first Sunday of Advent come from the book of Jeremiah and the Gospel of Luke. Now, these two passages from the Bible don't really evoke warm, fuzzy feelings. Quite the opposite feelings, in fact, arise at the reading and hearing of these scriptures. Because the first week of Advent has to deal with the shock. The shock of, is it time Already? Sure, the world has been giving us hints that Christmas is coming for months now. But it still seems to surprise us every time we get to this time of year. And perhaps it is because we don't start with the Christmas story. If we did, it would make it much more pleasant, I suppose. But we start with the warning signs, with a forecast for cloudy skies ahead, you might say. We start with a prophetic call to look at the world we inhabit. How close are we to the kingdom we proclaim each week after week? How close are we to this coming on earth as it is in heaven, for which we pray regularly? It's time to go home, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to the words found in Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 to 16, read by Brian.
The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at the time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness.
And the word of the Lord is recorded by Luke in chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Advent is an invitation. For many, it is the invitation to get into that Christmas spirit, to count down the days to the grand celebration, and to let the holiday transform everything around us. But we're not all about Christmas, the holiday, about December 25th with all the jingle bells and tinsel. We are about Christmas, the Mass of Christ, the celebration of the incarnate one who comes to remind us that we are not alone and God is with us. We are about the longing of the coming kingdom, where we will study war no more, where people will walk in the light, where joy will be found, and love will be the tie that binds us together. That's the home for which we long for. That's the invitation this Advent season brings to our church and the world. Come home for Christmas.
The most striking and the most universal feature of Christmas is the use of evergreens in churches and homes. Among ancient Romans, evergreens were an emblem of peace, joy, and victory. The early Christians placed them in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered the home. Holly and ivy, along with pine and fir, are called evergreens because they never change color. They are green, ever, alive, even in the midst of winter. They symbolize the unchanging nature of our God, and they remind us of the everlasting life that is ours through Jesus Christ. Under Christian thought and sentiment, holly became widely used in church celebrations. Holly was considered as the burning brush or burning bush or a symbol of Mary, whose being glows with the Holy Spirit. The red berries represented the blood drops from the cruel thorns in the crown of Jesus. In Isaiah 60:13, we find these words: "The glory of Lebanon shall come unto you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together to beautify the place of your sanctuary." Our forefathers called the procuring of these evergreens bringing home Christmas. In the sanctuary, we place evergreen swags on our window sills around the sanctuary as a reminder of God's unfailing love. Holly and red berries are placed on the baptismal font, reminding us of the gift of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Please remain seated as we sing together, "Hark, the angels, the herald angels sing."
Today, the Christmas tree is the center of our festivities as we celebrate Christmas. Glittering with lights and ornaments, it is a part of the beauty and meaning of Christmas. Well, there are several legends and stories about the Christmas tree. The first use of the Christmas tree was in the medieval German Paradise plays, held outdoors and portraying the creation of humankind. The tree of life was a fir tree decorated with apples. Later, other ornaments were hung upon them, such as paper flowers and gilded nuts. In England, branches or whole trees were forced into bloom indoors for Christmas. From these beginnings, the use of a tree at Christmas was established. There are several stories about Martin Luther and the first lighted tree. The story I'll share today is the one that is told on Christmas Eve when Martin Luther was wandering outdoors and became enraptured with the beauty of the starry sky. Its brilliance and loveliness led him to reflect on the glory of the first Christmas Eve as seen in Bethlehem's radiant skies. Wishing to share with his wife and his children the enchantment he had felt, he cut from the forest an evergreen, glistening with snow, and took it home. He placed upon it candles to represent the glorious heavens that he had seen while walking. The use of a candle-lighted tree spread to all of Europe, and then America came to regard it as the central ornament of Christmas. Of course, nowadays we have strings of electric lights upon our trees that make it safer to be lit throughout the season. And in just a moment, as Joan plays "O Christmas Tree," you will be invited to come forward and hang ornaments upon the tree. But that's not all. I want to talk to you about another tradition, because if we're coming home, Christmas, then part of that is establishing traditions. As we've established the tradition of hanging of the greens and established this year the tradition of collecting our acts of kindness upon paper straw, another tradition that we are going to share with one another is adding angels onto our tree. And I'm going to invite you to bring in an angel ornament. This is a tradition that was done in the church that I grew up in when I was younger. Everyone would bring in an ornament, an angel ornament, but it can be any kind of angel. And when you bring in your angel ornament, You can grab a little sticker and put your name on the back. And so they will adorn the Christmas tree throughout Advent into Christmas. And at the end of Christmas, you will then be invited to take a different ornament than what you brought in. And whosever name is on that ornament, you are invited to pray for that person in 2022. We could all use a little prayer for sure. Don't worry if you don't have any angel ornaments at home or if you can't go out and buy one. We will have extras available. There's a little table on the other side of the tree. So feel free to use angel ornaments that are there. Maybe you have an angel ornament at home that that you'd like to use, or you can certainly go and purchase one. But I think it will be wonderful for us to see all the different kinds of angel ornaments and, of course, engage in the practice of praying for one another. If you have any questions about that, feel free to ask me questions about it, but I'm looking forward to seeing those angels. So now we're going to invite Joan to play O Christmas Tree, and I'm going to invite you to come forward as we hang our gold bulbs. And then, like I said, beginning today, you're welcome to bring in your angel ornament. Just make sure your name is somewhere on that ornament so that we can pray. We can pray for you as your angel ornament is given to someone else. So please come forward and decorate with the gold balls. And once you bring your angel ornaments, feel free to add it into the tree.
Both visual and performing arts have always been important ways to communicate the Christian faith. The use of music has helped believers understand their godly hope. Other forms of visual art have been used from the beginning to express various aspects of Christian doctrine and life. Colors, pyramids, and coverings and banners are some of the most important visual ways Christians have expressed their faith in worship. In the early days of Christian worship, Advent and Christmas were seen as a somber time, much like Lent is today. Purple table coverings were used to speak of Christ's kingship, but the mood was somber. As Christians began to share their celebration of Christmas with their non-Christian neighbors, they began to focus on the joy of the Christmas event, and the emphasis of Christmas began to change to one of joyful celebration. The color used also changed to express Christ the King in a happier way. Purple and blue are common colors used to signify the season of Advent. If you look up to your left and your right, You will see banner that represent the four themes of Advent. We also change the color to blue on the pulpits and hang Christmas banners in the chancel area. The Garner family will be changing the colors and hanging banners in the chancel area. While we remain seated and sing our next hymn, at Advent we wait with anticipation and celebration for our coming Christ. So our hearts sing out, O come Emmanuel.
Advent is a time of expectation, and this is symbolized not only by a four-week period of preparation, but also by the lighting of an Advent candle each Sunday of the season. The flame of each new candle reminds us, the worshipers, that something is happening and something more is still to come. There is symbolism in the colors of the candles. The three purple candles symbolize the coming of Christ from the royal line of David. He is coming as the King of Kings as well as the Prince of Peace. The pink candle is to be lighted on the third Sunday of the Advent season, and this pink candle represents love. The large white candle in the center is known as the Christ candle and points to Jesus as the Christ, the light of the world. A progression is noted in the lighting of the candles of the Advent. Sometimes it's a wreath, or sometimes it's like what we have here, just kind of a long, trying to think of the word, just there in order. each candle symbolizes, as I said, various aspects of our waiting experience. For us this year, we are focusing on four ideas of the Christmas event, usually four words that are used throughout Advent year after year, which is hope, peace, love, and joy. You can find those words as well on the banners that hang inside the congregational and the pew area. The culmination of the season comes as we light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve, and we join in rejoicing that the promises of long ago have been fulfilled. So let us now join together in the Advent candle litany for this first Sunday of Advent, read by Brian.
We have endured these past few years and know that there is more to face before us. We don't know if we have the strength to withstand what might be around the next corner. And we wonder who will stand with us, who will have our back, who will occupy our corner.
Who is with us?
That is what we begin to wonder these days. Who will light our way and chart our course? Who is on our side?
Who will welcome us home again?
Hope. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of a branch that will be raised. Jesus spoke of a Son of Man that will descend. Both point to a hope that calls us home, our true home, where we're welcomed and loved and included. It's time, this Advent season, time to go home.
We light this candle as a sign of our hope, our strong hope. Well, I'd like the children to come forward again and help me with the next part of our hanging of the greens. And I'm going to invite you to join me right here in this front pew. Here they come. Well, one of the most heartwarming expressions of Christmas is the nativity. Do you have a nativity at home that you put up during Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes? That's one of my favorite things, is to set the nativity out. When I was growing up, we had a special nativity that my grandmother made. She painted it, it's ceramic, and I brought it today because it reminds me of home. When I was growing up, one of the things that my brother and I loved to do was to set this nativity scene up, and we often put it right under our tree until Santa came. And then when Santa came, we moved the nativity so that the presents wouldn't break the nativity. But as you look at this, you'll probably notice that the paint is chipping. I think there's a donkey in here that has its ear off. But that never bothered my grandma. See, you can see the chips in that. That never bothered my grandma. In fact, she tried to make the nativity large so that my brother and I could hold them and move them around during Christmas season. For many people here in the church, they too have a special nativity that they set out for Christmas. And it evokes all sorts of feelings. Not only is it a feeling of love, because I remember my grandmother making it, but it's also a reminder of what comes first in Christmas, and that's the word Christ, and that's the birth of Jesus Christ. And so another way in which we are going to create the feeling of home, since our Advent theme is coming home for Christmas, is I'm going to invite you and your families and other people in our church, if they have a special nativity they would like to share with their church family, to put it up on the tables that are provided here. And I'm going to ask you, while we sing, to help me put this nativity up, and we'll kind of start it on this table, and hopefully others will bring in nativity sets that are of meaning to them, and we can have a little bit of home here in our sanctuary. So let us join together in song as the children help me put this up on the table. So you can just unwrap them, okay? Whenever we see a nativity, we find ourselves with Mary and Joseph and with the shepherds and with the wise men bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love coming to us. The gospel writer John writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." As we remember this promise, let us join together in prayer for all of God's people. Please keep those who are listed in our prayer guide this Sunday in your prayers, as well as the needs in our community, our state, our nation, and our world. Let us pray together. O God, our Redeemer, we can pray with all confidence that through Christ you hear us. You fill our days with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we receive guidance for the decisions we must make. Waking or sleeping, we are enfolded with your protection. Today we prepare this place for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. In a season filled with preparation, we pray that our time together in this service reminds us of the waiting and anticipation we all share in the arrival of your Son. Help us then to remain focused on what is most important this Christmas season. May we truly come home to your home this Christmas season. Open our eyes to behold your presence in all parts of our lives. Keep us from putting you on the fringe of existence, from turning to you only when we are in need. Keep us forever aware that you accompany us in all our journeys, and help us to make you first in all that we do. We pray for those we know who are experiencing pain in a variety of ways. May you bring healing and comfort. And we pray for those who have recently lost loved ones and are grieving, and pray that you would soothe their sadness with the peace that passes all understanding. We give you thanks for all in our church family who share their gifts for the common good of all. And we pray you would continue to equip your church to fulfill the call to be faithful disciples. You send us out to be about our tasks. Go before us to guide us, and stay behind us to prod us. Live within us as God who fashions our being, as Christ who keeps us from falling, and as Holy Spirit, in which whose name we can do all things. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Trusting in the sure promises of Christ and grateful for the Spirit's sustaining power, let us offer our tithes and offerings to God. Your gifts can be placed in the offering plates at the entrances to the sanctuary or mailed to the church office. God of righteousness, you have saved us from the world, and we have promised to redeem the whole creation when Christ comes again. In faith and hope, we offer our gifts of money and self that we may be part of what you are doing in the world even now as we watch for Christ coming in glory. Amen. Please remain standing as we join together in our closing hymn.